I titled this sermon, I'll give it to you now, We Must Go Forward. I'm going to kind of just reminisce here a little that the holy days slipped by fairly quickly, but we did, at the Passover, recommit ourselves to God's way and commemorated the death of Christ and look forward to the future. And that's what that pictures, is what's going to happen in the future. I know there's other things there, but we pictured the days of unleavened bread, of putting sin out of our lives, to move on and to keep on going. And as we now, we're past the days of unleavened bread, we're looking forward to Pentecost and moving on. But in those days of unleavened bread, the Israelites, they came to the Red Sea, and there they were basically trapped. And in Exodus 14, it goes through from, I'm not going to read it all here, but I'm going to look at it. Exodus 14, find it here. And basically it gives the account of them at the Red Sea from verse 11 down through to 28. And what was going on? Were they looking forward there? No, they were looking behind, and they saw the Israelites, or the Egyptians, coming. But in verse 13, And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, ye shall see no more. Now, are we like that? Are we looking back and complaining about what's going on? Or are we looking forward to seeing the salvation of God? You know, Moses told them there, you know, hey, you stupid people, stop mumbling, grumbling, just stand still and look at what's going on around. And do we do that today? You know, there's some amazing things happening in this world, and we've been told and been predicted, and are we still looking at society, wondering what's going on? And we do need to go forward. We cannot be looking back. We need to stand still, in a sense, and look, which we can't really stand still, but we need to stand and look to God and turn our thoughts to God himself. And before I was, well, I guess in 1 Corinthians 5, too, it said, you know, we were to keep the days of unleavened bread with sincerity and truth. We could just go there and look. 1 Corinthians 5, everybody knows this, but 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. 5. It says, Purge out the old leaven, that we may be a new lump, as we are are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast of with unleavened, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but unto the unleavened, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we must keep on going. We can never be looking to this society as a way for to fix our problems and our troubles and the trials that we are in. God is the only one that can do that. And as Mr. Bowles brought out last week, the example of what goes in must come out. Water system, if something's coming in, it's got to go the other way, the end. If it doesn't, you've got problems. And again, you know, here we are. We need to be putting God's Spirit in and then letting it flow out the other end, showing that love, that concern for one another, and even for those in this society that we deal with. We can't become frustrated and upset with them, even though it's a tendency to do that. We must keep looking forward. This world, what we do every day, is not the end. It's not the only thing in our lives. The world out there, that the people we deal with at work, that is. They keep being, you know, you try not to be too pessimistic about the way things are, but you and I know from God's Word that this society is going to end, that He has taken His blessings away. Mr. Pepe and I were talking about that just before services here, that God has taken His blessings away. There are people in this world, they're standing there wondering what happened. and they don't know. They know something's really happened, something's really gone awry, but they just don't understand that we were blessed by God, these nations, and God has taken that blessing away. But all through society, who has had a counterfeit? Always to counteract God's way is Satan. He's always there. And when I was preparing this just before, I was reading the booklet, Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? And after reading it and then preparing this sermonette, there was an analogy in there that I thought kind of tied together that Satan always comes up with a counterfeit, and this society will want to drag you in. Satan always has, like, it looks good, looks like we should be going this way when we should not be. That we must be wary of that. Keep looking to God. And on page 27 of this, it stands out quite plain of this booklet. I'm going to read part of it here. And this is, quote, "The mark of the beast, it is here now." This is Mr. Armstrong. This is on a page, real bold. "But be sure whether this brand is upon you. Without it, no man will be able to buy or sell. Without it, you may be tortured, even to death. But with it, you shall suffer the seven last plagues of God." So there is things there that look like it's good, but do we read the whole thing like to the end? It said, you know, the plagues of God will be upon you. And then over in page 28, continuing to quote, "Some used to say this mystic mark was the facets of the old United States dime. During World War II, many said it was Hitler's swastika. During the Depression, New Deal, many said it was Roosevelt's NRA. No subject has been more intriguing and baffling to our generation. Thousands of sermons have been preached on it, but professing ministers and evangelists who themselves did not know what it is, millions have been curious. The average sermon on this subject considers one text of Scripture only." Just want to keep on reading here. "Only text usually read. This is the sole passage ordinarily quoted. And he, the second beast, caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." And that comes from Revelation 13:16-17. "For this one passage, the speaker customarily uses his imagination. The one might reason that since you will not be able to buy and sell without this mystical mark, and since we all wish to be able to buy and sell, therefore we ought to do all in our power to receive it. And this is the way Satan will sell it, that you will not be able to buy groceries, sell anything if you had something to try and sell, and you won't be able to go and do your ordinary day's work. And that's where you get your money from to do commerce in this world. And it will be passed off quite as though it will be something that you need to have. And will we fall in the trap, or will we be close to God and know that that is not the way to go? Everything in this world, right from Adam and Eve, Satan has always foited us, or convinced and deceived us into believing that there is good in his way. But yet, the underlying evil is there and will come to the forefront. Okay, but herein is an additional passage they neglect to show. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." There you are. There's the final punishment for going and following the way of Satan. Do we want to be there? I don't think any of us do, really, when we really truly understand it. We need to truly watch and continue to look to God and to trust in Him. We cannot afford to look back. We must always go forward. We must continually look to God and be strong and believing in what He says, not in what comes out of this world, because the world, the ways of this world, will lead to death.